Britain, Corbyn surges and Tories' weakness mean favourable terrain for socialist Sir Arak. The era we are living through, following the surges in support for Jeremy Corbyn, and with many young people talking about socialist ideas and consciously considering themselves on the left, is more favourable terrain for socialists to be organising on than we've had for many years. As Socialist Party Deputy General Secretary Hannah Sell described in her introduction to the British Perspectives discussion, after 30 years of nothing but establishment politicians supporting neoliberal ideas, we've now got John McDonnell putting the case for nationalisation of at least some utilities, and being attacked again in the Financial Times as singing a Marxist tune. The support for Corbyn and McDonnell's ideas has come from a profound deep-rooted anger at what capitalism means for the majority. Hannah pointed out that the return to formal growth in the economy has meant nothing for ordinary people. Instead, we see huge personal debt levels, life expectancy for girls falling for the first time since the 1920s, and public services like the NHS facing catastrophe. While the majority of national trade union leaderships are holding back national and coordinated action, the same anger as is behind support for Corbyn has driven a number of important sectional and local industrial disputes, as well as community campaigns. For example, in the discussion we heard from Socialist Party members who are playing leading roles in the university and college union strikes, RMT strikes against driver-only operated trains, and local campaigns to save NHS services, and on housing, and other local council cuts. These struggles show the potential, but unfortunately both the majority of trade union leaderships and the labor leadership have not acted to maximize this. Instead, both give too much the impression that it is enough for working and middle-class people to get behind Corbyn and hold on until a Labour government is elected. It is a mistake to not use their positions to mobilize workers in mass campaigns for jobs and services now. That would be the strongest basis on which a Corbyn government could come to power. For example, as Executive Committee member Rob Williams said, in replying to the discussion, the emergency NHS demonstration at the start of February could have been much bigger than it was, had Corbyn and the trade union leaderships thrown their full weight behind it. It is similarly a mistake by Corbyn and those who claim to lead the support for him, like Momentum, to continue to talk of unity within the Labour Party. The reality, Hannah said, is that the pro-capitalist wing of the Labour Party has been forced to appear reconciled to Corbyn's leadership, while continuing to work to undermine him. And they would continue this undermining in the case of a Corbyn-led government coming to power, trying to prevent Corbyn's anti-austerity manifesto from being implemented. Many workers understand that the Labour Party remains two parties in one. That is why in many areas we see the best campaigners, including those who have joined Labour, correctly willing to prioritise fighting in the interests of the working class over fear of criticising Labour's right wing. For example, those Labour Party members in Bristol who have signed a letter to Corbyn demanding that Bristol's Labour, and supposedly Corbyn supporting, Mayor Marvin Rees stops implementing Tory cuts. Similarly, many workers who back Corbyn, including some who have joined Labour, are supportive of the Socialist Party standing candidates against the Blairites in May's local elections as part of the Trade Unionist and Socialist Coalition, TUSC. Hannah said that unlike any Labour leader in the last epoch, Corbyn and McDonnell can be pushed to take a more radical anti-cut stance by pressure from below. This can be built through campaigns and strikes, but also through an electoral challenge which backs them, but boldly stands against the saboteurs within their own party. These battles are made all the more important and urgent by the fact that the opportunities facing the working class are huge and there is disarray on the other side. The capitalist class is in an extremely weak position, with no reliable political representatives to carry out a program in their best interests. The Tories are at each other's apostrophe throats. Nowhere is this more clear than over the issue of Brexit. As we pointed out in the editorial of the last issue of The Socialist, see May's EU speech kicks can down the road, the pro-EU wing of the Tories has been temporarily pacified by May's latest position, which stressed having high-level access to EU markets. But the divisions will soon come to the surface again. It is clear that this wing hopes to push May towards accepting single market and/or customs union membership, which will be intolerable to the other side. The bosses are attempting to use Labour as a stick to push May into a Brexit position they could accept, while hoping the undemocratic fixed-term Parliament Act will maintain her in power. But as Hannah said, this is a very high-risk tactic. Events are not under the control of the capitalist class. The fudged positions to maintain unity in the Tories will become more and more difficult as Brexit deadlines approach, and the DUP could pull out of the supply and confidence agreement at any time. So while it is possible that the Tory government could stagger on, we could also see a general election within the next year. Such an election would present a huge opportunity for the working class and for socialists. The work we are doing now, including mobilizing people through campaigns and industrial battles as well as winning workers and young people to join the Socialist Party, is preparation for the battles that would be faced in such a situation.